Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of Birds 365, joined now by Mike Gill from 97.3 ESPN Down the Shore, best sports show down the shore. Mike, welcome to the show, man. Great to have you on this Wednesday. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm sure there's just a little bit that people are still talking about today, I would imagine.
Yeah, man. And I apologize, you know, Mike, I don't know what day it is. So
it's all right.
I forgot to remind Mike for his 820 spot this morning. But one of the things, Mike, I always enjoy when I'm on your show is you and Josh usually find some kind of clip of some weird, some national analyst just saying something crazy. And it always makes me chuckle. Boy, that must have been easy this week. The overreactions are even stunning me. I don't know if that's a microcosm of society, but I mean, this is a terrible division. This team was 2 minutes away from being 2-0 on the season. It's still a terrible division. Plenty of time to grow, and the sky is falling, Mike Gill. It's a little bit cloudy where you are, but the sky, I think, is not falling. What is going on?
Well, you just said something like there's plenty of time to grow. We live in a society that wants everything microwaved now. We're not worried about growth. We don't want to, you know, look back and say, what were we in week two and what are we now in week 12? It's we are not good enough today. And what you saw on Monday night tells people we're not good enough to do what we want to do, which is win a Super Bowl. But if you watch games on Sunday, all you have to do is go back one day further, and people don't want to do that, is to say, was San Francisco good enough? Was Dallas good enough? Was Detroit good enough? And the answer was, no, nobody was good enough. Was Baltimore good enough? No, they weren't. Nobody was good enough. And a lot of this is, you know, we talk about why is quarterback play so bad? Well, no one plays in the preseason. Look, Deebo Samuel, calf. A.J. Brown, hamstring. A lot of that might be they're not getting explosive enough. No preseason games. All these guys getting hurt. We talk about quarterback play, injuries, awful play, good teams losing to teams that are inferior. It's all a part of growing in today's NFL. And I think fans just have a hard time changing their expectations of, all right, you know, we might not be the team we want to be in week two, but did I see enough? I said yesterday, that defense gave up 15 points into the last minute of that
game. I know.
Game.
I just said it. It's crazy.
If you give up 15 points, you got to feel good. Now, Xander, I heard you before. I said when they signed Bryce Huff, that guy will not be able to replace Hassan Reddick. Not only can he not replace Hassan Reddick, he's I don't want to go Jimmy Kemsky and say unplayable, but he's not wrong. He's not playable. I didn't like the signing at all. I think he's a one-dimensional, one-trick pony who was on a contract year. He got his 10 sacks and got out of there. I did not like that signing. I have no anticipation that that kid can play at all. He's too small, one-trick pony, has no hand placement. I do not like that move. So I don't have any anticipation where they're getting pass rush from at all. I don't know where you're going to get it from. And it's something we talked about in training camp. And now 2 weeks into the season, you're looking around and saying, you know, a couple years ago, they traded for Robert Quinn. Jannard Avery. These are the guys you're trying to find just to find. That's not going to work. You sign this guy for $51 million, and there's a disconnect between that signing and what Vic Fangio wants to do. You got a problem, and that problem is not going away. And that's why, John, I think people are saying, I don't know what to expect from this team because I don't see where they're getting pass rush. And in today's league, you if you can't grow at that position, you got a problem.
I mean, if Bryce Hop can't play, if Bryce Hop is what you and Jimmy believe he is, yeah, they're screwed. I mean, they're screwed. I don't believe
I think the run defense goes into that too. I mean, you know, the coaching decision, the Saquon drop, Jalen at the end, all those things, I think you're right. It's like overreaction. They can fix it. If you can't stop anybody on defense, you can't stop the run, and you can't get after the quarterback, you're in trouble. Whether it's September 18th or November 18th, you're in trouble.
No quick look, you know, people hated John Gannon. He sacked the quarterback 70 times. And if you don't like the number of sacks, he was around the quarterback 170 times. So John Gannon's defense did what it was supposed to do. It pressured. That last drive of the game is a result of you can't get any pressure. You can't get near Kirk Cousins. Now you can say, look, and the Falcons don't have the best line in the league. But even if they have the best line in the league, you couldn't.
It's way better than people think, by the way.
Well, I said, even if you have the best line in the league, you know they're passing, and you couldn't get anywhere near him to the point that he's able to let these receivers get 20 yards down the field in back-to-back plays because there's no anticipation of pass rush. So you have a big disconnect happening right now between what they want to do and what they have, and I don't see where they're getting any better at that. Where is this team getting better in the past?
Well, I'll tell you where. Well, Hop's got to play. Everybody's got to play better. But, you know, I think Hop is low-hanging fruit because he hasn't been here, and they're building their defense on the foundation of Jalen Carter, and he's been awful.
Yep.
I'm not going to go down the Emmanuel Acho route and say he's going to be awful because I think he'll figure it out. And I think Bryce Hupp will get better. It's just a matter of how much. Is he going to get good enough? But he's certainly going to get better. But Jalen Carter's got to be great. And he doesn't look anything but great, Mike Gill.
Yeah.
And now we have the reports of a punishment because he's late to some kind of team events or team scheduled thing. And he sat like college for a series. I mean, they're treating him like a college kid. He is a college kid, maturity wise. That was some of the issues why he fell to the ninth pick in the draft. How concerned are you with Jalen Carter?
Yeah, no, you hear that report yesterday and you just wonder, is this kid mature enough to be the anchor of a defense? Is this kid have the ability to be what Fletcher Cox was and be a stabilizer and be a guy that you could depend on almost every single week for a decade? And the maturity level was questioned, and you got to wonder, does he want to be the leader of a defense? Does he want to have a defense built around him? It doesn't appear that he's ready to take that next step and be the guy. You know, we always say when the offensive coordinator watches the Eagles defense, who are they game planning for? I don't know. There's a guy right now they have to pick out. There's just nobody that stands out on that tape that says, man, we got to make sure we know where this guy is on the field. And one of the reasons is you don't know if Jalen Carter is going to give you. Now, when he's playing at his best, you can be that guy. But you can't be that guy if you're not being that guy every play. And, you know, if you're building it around him, look, and we talk about all the time, John, you got to blitz, blitz, blitz. They blitzed the other night and got blitzed. They gave up a touchdown on the one play that they sent pressure. They got scorched. So that's not going to be people who want to say blitz, blitz, blitz. This has got to come from Carter up the middle. He's the guy who's got to get that inside pass, pressure, pushing the center back, getting that interior back. And you got to get some edge rush from somebody. And look, it seems to be an oversight. You gave Josh Sweat a pay cut because you kind of realized maybe this isn't the guy. So you're dependent on him, kind of, sort of, but you said we're going to give you a pay cut. And then you bring in Huff, and you got Brandon Graham backing him up. Now Brandon Graham's actually got to take over for him because the kid can't play. You got a guy in the first round, Nolan Smith, that I said the other night, I don't even know what number Huff wears because I can't find him ever on
zero.
The field.
It's an easy zero. Joke.
Where's zero? Zero sacks, zero pressures, and zero tackles.
A lot of jokes.
His
there.
Number makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Zero. You got zero making no impact and three making no impact. They got to get something from one of those two, but 98 has to be the guy. He has to get pressure up the middle to help those edge rushers out. And right now, he's not doing his job either. So you got big problems. And look, there's a lot of young players on this defense. I think we overlooked that is you're depending on a lot of young guys communication-wise. But go back to the beginning, like a Seinfeld episode here, John. Growth. You got to hope that they can grow this thing. And by week 10, 11, 12, that they find their bearings and who they are. I don't think they know what the hell they are on defense right now. And that's given up 15 points in the first 59 minutes of the game. So there should be some feel of, okay, if they can just find their way. They are keeping people out of the end zone. And that goes to the whole bigger story of the whole third and three, the play call, all of it kind of meshes together here.
Yeah, well, yeah, again, if Saquon catches the ball, we're not even having these conversations. So it definitely meshes together.
Well, I think we're still having the conversations. About
to a certain extent, because we talk about everything.
Well, if he catches that ball, we're not talking about
here. The sky isn't falling.
Hold on. How many times, everybody watching this right now, Xander, John, everybody, how many times have we seen a team with 11 guys across the front, one guy standing behind them, and the team rolls a little pop pass and the tight end's wide open and it rips your heart out? That happens every week. That play, third down, happens all the time. The guy catches the ball 100% of the time. Saquon Barkley didn't catch the ball.
Look, there was Anthony Gargano, friend of the show, went on a nice rant. And I'm listening to it completely. And I get from the stand, he's an old school guy. And, run the football, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Typical Philly fan. And he's like, now I don't care. It's 99 out of 100 times he's going to catch the ball. There's that one time. That's why you run the ball. And I'm thinking to myself, well, there's a hole to that thinking, Mike, in that 99 times of 100, you don't fumble. But you can fumble. That is an easy play, and why can't people get over the hump?
Yeah, but it's about the clock, John. If you run the ball...
Xander, here's the clock, and it is about the clock.
Atlanta had no timeouts, so they're fighting against the clock.
What?
Right, but here's the thing. Here's the thing that's overlooked about that. It is about the clock, Xander. You're right. So they run the ball. They get stuffed. It's now fourth down and two. They get a yard. The clock is down 40 seconds. You're still giving Atlanta the ball back with enough time to score. They went down to score in a minute.
When you're making that drive in 60 seconds versus 100 seconds, I know they did it in 65 total, but the play call you have to run when there's 5 seconds on an expiring clock looks a lot different, and also the defense is going to play that a lot differently.
But you're assuming – here's the problem, and that's why I brought up. You're assuming execution. Again – and you're assuming non-execution for the play you don't like and assuming again, if you same play 99 times out of 100, Saquon's got to catch the ball. Unfortunately, that's where you might criticize the Eagles because he's got 16 drops since 2021. So maybe it isn't 99 out of 100 times. 99 out of 100 times, you don't fumble and the 40 seconds comes off the clock. But guess what? If you do fumble, the 40 seconds aren't coming off the clock if the Falcons get the football. You're assuming execution.
Yeah, no,
that's
you're right.
What Kellen Moore was assuming. He's trusting his best player on that particular day.
You're assuming
execution.
You're also assuming. I just watched Atlanta go down the field in a minute and 5 seconds. You're now assuming that if there was a minute five, because essentially if they ran the ball, 40 seconds came off the clock. There would have been about a minute two left in the game, maybe a little less. So they went down the field in a minute and five. And by the way, it got to the point where if you're watching the Manning cast, they're yelling at him for going out of bounds because they're saying, now you're leaving too much time. Yeah. They could have gone in and scored in 40 seconds if they wanted to. So now we're assuming that if the Eagles ran the ball, kicked the field goal, and gave them the ball back, that they weren't going to score as quickly and easily as they did. That's Ansonine. They showed you that they went right down the field. There was no pass rush. So they were going to get the ball back, whether it was a minute 30, a minute 5, 45, and go right down the field and score.
Speaking of the Manning cast, Peyton Manning, forget Anthony Gargano. Peyton Manning said the same thing. I'll listen to Peyton Manning. I don't need to listen to Anthony Gargano to think that they should have run it. Peyton Manning says, John, he said the same thing. Most of the time, they're going to execute that play, but that's why you run it right there, because what you don't want to happen, the downside of that play is bigger than the downside of the alternative, and they should have ran the ball there. I'm going to listen to Peyton Manning.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. I, you know, and I'm with you. Nothing against Anthony, who I like, but yeah, I'm going to listen to Peyton more. But well, listen, I also disagree with the thought process of, look, the ball's there. Here's how I look at it. Kellen Moore did his job. Saquon Barkley didn't do his job.
Well, that's correct. I mean, Saquon did drop the pass. And by the way, he's got the most drops of a running back since 2021. Yeah. So, maybe that should have been factored into
We always love to blame the coach. Sirianni's getting roasted. He doesn't even call the play. But here's what I'll say is, do we not want the coaching staff to have trust in the players? We're criticizing the coaching staff for putting trust into a $12.5 million running back. Hey,
so
I believe that this guy will catch this ball and rip the hearts out of that team.
But he wasn't given $12.5 million to catch a ball, Mike. He was given $12.5 million to run the rock. And you
had no, John,
you can tell me that all summer, man. I mean, I'm just saying, if you want to play it like that, you really paid him to run the rock.
You can't toggle now. But Mike's point is correct.
And going back to what I was saying before, encompassing, the defense had given up 15 points. They had not let them get in the end zone. They were going, getting yards, but they were kicking field goals. And they're saying, if we just kick a field goal here, they got to go all the way down the field and get a touchdown. And they haven't done that all night long. Shame on them for trusting them to do it again. You know what I mean? Like, the trust they put in their defense, shame on them, I guess, right?
It's hilarious because you want to protect these players, and I'm not talking about you guys, but the fans want to protect these players at all costs and want to say they're great and this and that, and everything's the coach's fault, and then you want the coaches not to trust them. Mike's point is exactly correct. Come on. A high-level high school kid is going to make. Come on. Put the blame where it belongs. That's all I'm asking. Accountability. That's what Nick Sirianni has been talking about since day one. It ain't Nick's fault. It ain't Kellen's fault. Sometimes it is. In that instance, they drew up a good play that was going to succeed, and the player didn't execute it, period. Turn the page.
There's always a risk-reward analysis. And in that moment, when they have zero timeouts, that has to be factored into
You're talking about Peyton Manning, and I'm talking about Anthony, and Mike's talking about this. Saquon Barkley freaking said it.
I know. I'm not absolving him. You're right, John. If he makes that catch, and by the way, if he makes that catch, Atlanta never even has a chance to shred our defense the way they did in 65.
No,
the game's over.
So, again, the Eagles, this is what we loved about the team a couple of years ago, how aggressive they were. Yes. They ripped your heart out. So they went for it, and the player didn't execute it. But if he catches that ball, the game is over. And we're sitting here, listen, would I have run the ball? Sure, I would have ran the ball 40 seconds because I trust my defense that they're not going to go down and score with a minute left. Well, guess what? I would have been wrong because they did. But that being said, I would have ran the ball. And if I like that play so much, then I'll run it on fourth down. Go for it and run it on fourth down.
I would have run the ball. You know why I would have run the ball? Because I don't trust the player. Do you like that?
I'll tell you this. I would have run the ball, and I say this all the time, because as much as A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley are the high-plate skill players, the star of this team has been and continues to be their offensive line. And if I have the star yes. standing in front of me, I'm utilizing them. And that's yep. what I think they failed is. I say you got to trust your players. They trust the skill player more than they trust the offensive line to push them back. And that's where I think they made the wrong decision. But the play itself is, hey, we're going to be overly aggressive. Do something about it. And if you can't stop us, that game's over. And they didn't stop us. We stopped ourselves.
I want to go to the super chat because it's right on along with what we're talking about. And I want to get your guys' perspective on this. Prince Swayze checks, and you can also run the tush push on fourth down and give them back at the 3 instead of the 30 if we didn't convert. I see a lot of people saying this. The problem with this would be you might have had them at the 3, but then they would only need to get in field goal range because the Eagles were only up by 3 at the point. So a lot of people have said, you know, go for it on fourth down to keep running the clock down. But yeah. then you only have to go, what, 50, 60 yards. It's kind of the yeah. same thing as yeah. getting the ball to 30 and having to get to the end zone.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know, they figure – it goes back to the trust in the defense. You know, we might be laughing about how could you trust this defense? They're looking at the scoreboard and saying they've only scored 15 points. Well, you know, we're keeping them out of the end zone. Last week against Green Bay, when they're down in the red zone, we kept them out twice. So our defense is Jim Johnson, bend but don't break.
Well, to be fair, they were ahead 21-15, so they still have to go the length of the field.
Well, no, after the field goal they were, John. I'm saying
they kicked the field goal. I thought he was saying they didn't convert.
People were saying, you know, go.
No,
for
I'm down, saying if they didn't, if yeah. they, I thought he was saying they didn't convert on fourth down. In no, other words,
some people were saying like push. Go for it, yeah, to take.
I see. He's saying tush push that for on. You're saying tush push?
No, they were saying the line of thinking was even if you don't get it on the third down there and you run the clock down to a minute, go for it again on fourth down because then Atlanta is pinned so deep anyway they have to go the full field. But then that would mean that you didn't get another 3 points on the board and Atlanta would have been
Because they would have gone like 85 yards instead of you get the ball at the 30. Yeah. And now you only have to go 70 yards. That's a 15 yard
difference. Yeah.
Right. You know, I used to host a show with Darwin Walker back in the day. And Darwin, of course, played with Jim Johnson's defenses. And he used to say all the time. Now, Jim was different. He blitzed and created pressure that way. But his philosophy was, I don't care how many yards we give up. 17 points. That's the number. 17. Give them all the yards they want in the middle of the field. Just keep them out of the end zone and give them 17 points. You give up 17 points, we will win the game. That's essentially what we saw the other night. Yards up and down the field. It was 15 points they gave up in that game. And therefore, I think the Eagles coaching staff said, we'll kick the field goal, go up 6, and make them have to score a touchdown against us. Again, shame on them for trusting the players.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you as far as the trust of the players thing is a big part, and you have to execute. And I talk about it all the time, and it's boring because all anybody wants to talk about is on the offense is motion and big coverages on defense and this and that. And the bottom line is you could have, and I tell the Doug Peterson story all the time because I would talk about it with him. There are so many times in a game where you might have the right play call on and the left guard misses a block or you know, somebody doesn't execute their assignment and it looks like crap and everybody, what a bad play call. And at the same time, Doug would say, sometimes I get caught as a play caller and the player picks him up. And, you know, Zach Ertz makes a big play and all of a sudden you convert and everybody thinks it's a good play call. And really, it was a bad play call. It's about execution. That was there. It was there for the taking. Kellen Moore did his job.
Making some big plays. Zach Ertz is still making some big plays.
Yeah. Kellen Moore did his job. Whether you like it or not,
he executes it. Yeah.
I mean, I got somebody messaging me, you know, in social media saying, poor decision. You're paid, but players in the best position to win the game. So wide open isn't a great position. Would you rather him double covered?
Exactly.
Wide open isn't a great position.
It is about the execution there. Mike, I want to ask you about something that I was upset with.
Real quick, yesterday, Colin Thompson, he does my show every Tuesday. And, you know, he's a fourth tight end, blocking tight end. But generally, those guys are the smartest guys on the field, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I said, were you in that huddle, would you have been surprised with that play call? He says, absolutely not. We actually expect that play call to end that game. And his point was, it's the players, not the plays. It's the players.
Yeah, Colin says it all the time.
The plays.
It is. Yeah.
And that's what Johnson's saying.
That is the mentality of the players, is you tell us the play, and if we execute it, no matter what the play is, we should be able to.
Colin would say it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmies and Joes.
And by the way, you mentioned Peyton Manning. Jeff Saturday, he said the other day, he loved the play call. Now, he's a center. He was also a head coach of this league. Not a very good one, by the way. But still, the mentality, my point
bad
is on
situation,
that.
Though.
My point on this is, we all think it's definitive. Where it's not, there's half the people that say, I love the aggression and make the player make the play. But then there's this other side of people that want to, like, shelter these players and have the coaches almost, like, hug them on every play. And it's like, it's almost like I have to put the ball in the tee for you, and then I have to swing the bat for you. Sometimes I have to call the play and say, go execute it. But we always want to coddle and say, it's the coach's fault. He has to do a better job. He schemed a play where a professional was wide open to win the game, and the
high-level professional, high-level professional that everybody talked up in the offseason.
So, yes, we can give some – we certainly could question and say there was a – you could have run the ball, that would do the clock.
Hey, bottom line, whatever they did, they should have won the game with execution. If they ran it, they should have won the game.
If we want to let the players off the hook, then fine. Blame the coach for the play.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
Tall. If you think they would have run the ball, got that first down, even if they would have run the ball, got stopped, and whatever would have happened afterwards. But I hate how we always want to blame the coach for putting the player, you were saying put him in a better position. He was wide open. Wide open. And by the way, the same play they ran earlier in the game, he caught it.
Now, you're right, Mike. One other thing I want to ask you about, because, you know, all this happened, and then at the end of the game, we had a chance to win with the ball in our star quarterback's hands.
I'd be more mad about that possession.
That's where I'm going next, is you have the ball in your quarterback's hands. He's got a timeout, and he needs, call it 15 to 20 yards to get in field goal range for one of the best kickers in the NFL. He could have made all this right. I think if you give that scenario to most teams in the league and say, your quarterback has the ball at his own 43, it's first and 10, there's 22 seconds on the clock, and you have a timeout, 99% of the teams in this league that have a quarterback that they believe in would take that scenario. Jalen Hurts put that ball in a brutal situation. He made a terrible play, a terrible decision with the football there, knowing I need 15 yards. I probably have three plays to do it, and I'm in range for Jake to make, and he forces the ball into the hands of Jesse Bates. I thought that decision was brutal. Am I being too hard on Jalen Hurts?
No, not at all. John, on Friday, we did a little buy or sell, and I said Hurts has five straight games with an interception. Buy or sell that streak will continue. It didn't look like it was going to until the most important moment of the game. That decision is inexcusable.
By the way, I bought instead of you did. Jesse Bates.
And I thought, by the way, I thought Hurts played very well up until that decision was inexcusable. Yeah, that decision was horrendous. Yeah, I would be more – look, I certainly think that I certainly think that in that moment – is he trying to do too much? Is he saying, look, we got to push the ball down the field? Maybe, but you didn't have to. You had a timeout. You had the middle of the field wide open. And we've seen Jake – listen, is it inconceivable to say, just make a 60-yarder? Yeah, I mean, that's not a gimme. But you know, at least give yourself the chance to do it. And it was almost like he didn't trust that they could make a 60-yard field goal, so I'm just going to go for it myself. And that was unfortunate because I thought he played really well.
I thought he played great too.
I would agree that decision, to me, has not been looked at enough because of the play call and everybody. You know, the play call is one of those things. I say all the time, most fans know they can't play the game, but they really think they could coach the game. So, therefore, they challenge the coach because we all think whatever play I would have called would have worked. If they called pass and I called run, the run would have worked because I'm the one who would have called it.
They just said, well, that's the thing. Assuming execution on the play you like versus assuming lack of execution on the play you don't like. But the trust in players, you can't play. And this is where I thought at Mike Gill Show, by the way, follow Mike on X, the X platform. Listen to him 97.3 South Jersey every day, 2 to 6. Does a tremendous job down there. Dan Campbell, the Detroit Lions. All year, they play a certain way. They get to the NFC Championship game, and you want the guy to change on the biggest stage for a team that hasn't been there in how long, and he got them there, and you want him to change because the players don't execute. It doesn't make sense at any level, Mike. You want to play a certain way, and then you want to pull back and, as you say, coddle the players.
Yeah. I tweeted this out. Is that what it's called anymore? Tweet it. But I said, everybody's talking about early in the game, they didn't take the points. Oh, you always take the points.
I would have taken the points, but
I agree. But the NFL analytics, and they talked about it right during the game.
Yeah.
It said go. They put it right on the screen. Now, why does it say go? I don't know. But whatever analytics are, they said in that fourth down situation, you go for it. So we all say take the points, but there's a world that says we're wrong, and we're living in that world. In the NFL world, they're saying go for it. Us schmuck bags are saying, oh, take the points. But the people who are running this league are saying, no, don't take the points. Go for it. So whatever world we're living in, the points there for us would have been, yeah, of course I'm going to take the points. But the NFL world, the analytics say go for it. And that's the way that a lot of these teams run. So we like to be critical of, well, he did that and he did this. Pretty much every team probably would have gone for it in that situation if they're following the analytics.
Yeah. And there should be a little bit of give and take. And Nick talks about that. You can't just always go for it on fourth and three or certain situations. You do have to, then you become, it becomes a tendency. People expect it. Things can change. So things are always moving, developing. It's not as simple as yes and no. I get it. They throw out the analytics. But from me, the standpoint early in the game was like, yeah, I would have kicked the field goal, but I wasn't incensed that they didn't. I saw both sides of it. And the assumption that, oh, you got three extra points and the game unfolds exactly like that.
Yeah, right.
That's nonsense as well, because everything changes. So you play differently if you're behind by a certain amount, by another certain amount. So many things can change. But, you know, everybody thinks everything's in a vacuum at all points. And every decision affects the next decision.
And here's the vacuum that's interesting. When that schedule comes out in May and you look at it and say, Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa, that NFC South.
Yeah, much
now,
better.
All of a sudden, you're looking at Atlanta beat you in your building. Now you got to go to where Colin Thompson said on my show yesterday, hands down the most difficult place to play in the NFL, with a team now that's cooking with gas, with speed all over the place. And then a Tampa team that just Rochambeau'd you down there in their place not too long ago. So you got to figure out a way to win at least one of these games, right? And you're not feeling so good about it.
I'll tell you what. I hope AJ's back for that Tampa game, because Todd Bowles is coming. And we haven't seen the blitz as much as I thought, but Todd Bowles is coming. He is looming.
I'll tell you what. If that pass rush looks like they did on Monday night in New Orleans on Sunday, we're going to get destroyed by that team. Derek Carr will pick this team apart if that pass rush can't get home.
The great Derek Carr will pick.
Look, he's a streaky quarterback, but if you give him time in the pocket, he's proven he'll dice you up. That's what he can do. This pass rush can't get home.
NFL quarterback, no question.
If you, I sat and watched a lot of Saints like play concepts the other day in their design. Man, they do a really good job coming up with some stuff and figuring out
how to get guys. Baby. Kyle Shanahan, it's all the Shanahan.
Yeah, they've got some really interesting route concepts and the way they block it and how they block it. They figured some things out down there with the speed that they have. Kamara looks like he's kind of back to where he was.
He's kind of been.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. When we entered this year, that Saints team, you would say, they got nothing appealing. They just got a bunch of like mid-level everythings. Well, guess what? Shahid can play. Kamara's back. When Kamara 3 years ago was, you would think, oh, he's the best running back in the league. And then he got hurt. But now he seems like he's healthy and back. Now they got speed. Their offensive line's pretty good. And Dennis Allen's a defensive-minded coach. That team is a lot different than they were when the schedule game was being played.
Yeah. One last thing, Mike, before we let you go, and I want to get both of your opinions on this. So Nick Sirianni just confirmed on WIP this morning that he did not address the team after Monday night's loss. Jalen Hurts did. And Nick's quote was, he spoke from his heart. I thought his message was right on, dead on. When a player is saying what I would say, there's no reason for me to speak afterwards. That was perfect. Is that a good thing? Like, do we want a head coach that doesn't talk to a team after a loss like that? I don't know. Everybody's like giving Jalen Hurts credit for this, which is great. I think he should speak, but do we really want a head coach that doesn't address the team after a loss like that?
Yeah, I got mixed feelings on that, right? Sometimes you want the coach to come in and kind of give this, like, hey, guys, you know, that one's on, even if it's not on him, you know. But is this Hurts kind of growing into this is my team now? Something that we had questioned, whether this was Kelce, somebody else that kind
of. I'm not knocking the Jalen part of it. I think Jalen should be that leader as well. But how is Nick Sirianni?
Sometimes it becomes overkill. If one guy gives this passionate thing and then the next guy comes in, you're almost like, all right, it's too
much. Yeah, I think he gave the context to it. He thought he said everything that needed to be said. So he stepped back.
So just don't speak as the head coach of the team?
Well, he's going to talk to him all freaking week. He talks to him all the time. You're trying to get the message through. But believe me, he's talking to him. He's talking to him today. He's talking to him tomorrow. He's talking to him the next day.
I will say it feels weird to say the guy didn't talk to his team after the game. But I do feel like you have to pick your spots. You can't always just keep grinding and riding and messaging, because sometimes that gets tuned out. So it's like, you know, you have a good cop, a bad cop for a reason. I can't be grinding on you all the time, because at some point I'm going to lose you if I'm just always the voice that's picking on you. So if somebody wants to step up and say, Coach, I got this tonight. It was a tough loss. It's on me. Let me address them. I think it's good for the coach to say, you know what?
Add another thing to the list of duties that Nick Sirianni no longer has any part of.
You're getting silly-o eyes, Xander.
No, I'm not, John.
He didn't talk to the team and shut off and didn't hear the context of why he didn't talk to the team.
No, I just
Mike just explained. you know, sometimes you throw a curveball. If you're the same guy, the same voice, the same messaging, some people tune out, especially when you have the thing.
It's your first loss
of the year. If he didn't explain that Jalen Hurts did what he did and he felt he hit all the right notes and he's just going back up after and just reinforcing the same notes, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I know a lot of people are going to have a problem with it. Obviously, a lot of people are. It's silly. It's stupid. It's not meaningful in any way. The players know what went wrong. The players, the one player took accountability for it. And I'll tell you, Jalen, when we got in the locker room, I'm sure people have mentioned it. I mentioned it. Jalen was at Saquon Barkley's locker talking to Saquon Barkley as well, trying to pick up his spirits. So the leadership aspect from the player and the team is valuable. That's how Nick took it. Now, does it work? I don't know if it's going to work, but the fact that he didn't talk to the team after that particular game and decided to pull back, who cares?
Okay.
I mean, if you think that is relevant in any way, that's like one of Nick's best stories to me is when somebody drops the football. And the first reality, Mike, you'll know this as a coach, even though it's, and he said he hates when people say, catch the football, catch the football. What kind of teaching point is that? You think Saquon Barkley's not trying to catch the football? Of course he's trying to catch the football. That's not helping anybody. What did he do wrong? Did he get his head around quickly? Was it a technique issue? Is there something you can coach up? That's what you have to do as a coach. But people hang their hat on just bullshit. I'm sorry.
Now the coach doesn't have any role in holding players accountable after a loss. I'm sorry. I just don't agree with that. And if that makes me silly-o-wise, then good. So be it. That's bullshit. Nick Sirianni doesn't do the play calling. He doesn't. What does he do? Now he doesn't talk to the team after a game? Because have a head coach. If Jalen Hurts
go to Baltimore. Well, first of all, blame the people who are blamed. This setup is bullshit. I've said that from
the top, no doubt.
Blame the people to blame. That's a Jeffrey Lurie issue. Number one. Now, number two, what does he do? Does anybody go to Pittsburgh and ask Mike Tomlin what he does when he's 2-0? Does anybody go to Baltimore, even though they're struggling, when they're, you know, the best team in the NFL, and ask John Harbaugh what he does? Does anybody go to any CEO coach and ask them what they do?
Well, that's because everybody in those organizations knows exactly who the boss is and who's going to hold you accountable.
But then blame Jeffrey freaking Lurie.
You think Mike Tomlin isn't holding people accountable in Pittsburgh, John? Come on, man. I'm not buying that for a second.
So your assumption is Nick Sirianni's not holding people accountable because he didn't talk?
No, his job is to be the head coach of the team, John. I think not talking after your first loss of the year is not a great look.
We talked about this because of the whole changeover, but I take Jason Kelsey's word for what you want. But one of the things he said he liked about Nick more than anything was how much he held people accountable behind closed doors.
People have never spoken to Nick Sirianni in their fucking life saying he doesn't hold people accountable know nothing about Nick Sirianni. Nothing.
Yeah, and this is Jason Kelsey who brought that up, which was the one, you know, more than anything is that he holds people accountable. Shane Steichen, same thing, said, you know, how much he holds. Well, we look at the personality that we see on television, and that's what we go off of. But we never know what happens behind closed doors. I remember a couple of years ago, in fact, it was your father, Xander, who was talking about Doug Peterson calling the plays, and he has to give up the play calling because it's too much for the head coach to make the decisions on the field and call the plays and yada, 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 pass it over to the offensive coordinator. Well, now we want the head coach to call the plays, do all the clock, blah, blah, blah. I have no problem with the CEO coach. And listen, look, I coach young kids baseball, 13 years old, but I know not to yell and scream every single practice because at that point they're going to say, this guy's an asshole. I don't want to listen to him anymore. So
I'm not saying to yell and scream. I'm just saying.
Well, you're saying, but I'm saying, I'm just saying, for him to have trust in Jalen Hurts to be the guy who addresses the team is fine. Now, if Britton Covey steps up and says, "Coach, I got this," that's a different story. Then he says, "Nah, Britton, let me address the team." But for him to acquiesce to Jalen,
would be really good at that, by the way.
But he would be. But for him to acquiesce to Jalen Hurts, I think is a grown-up thing to kind of say, "Listen, Jalen, this is your team. You want to address them? Fine. I'm okay with that." I'm sure when they get back to practice and sit in that room, Nick is going to address the team in a manner of.
Well, he's already addressed them. He's already addressed them. It's freaking Wednesday, although I didn't know it was Wednesday.
Yeah, well, I'm lost track of days.
I think the assumption is from a lot of people, oh, they're going to show up in New Orleans and Nick Sirianni's not talking to it. He's talking to the team every freaking day this week as they prepare for the game. It's mountain out of a molehill.
John. I mean, look, I understand what you're saying now, but to your point about me not knowing Nick, what the hell does that have to do with anything? I don't know Mike Tomlin either. I know
because you're assuming
has no identity, John, right now in this city.
Because you're assuming things. You're assuming things.
Because you're friends with the guy and talked to him off the. I'm not shit. Hey. What does that mean to me? He's the head coach of the football team.
Because you have no idea.
Because I don't know the guy. You're right. I don't know him. Who cares?
Yeah, because no, not because you don't know him. I don't hang out with Nick Sirianni, but I go to practice every day. I talk to him. I talk to the players. I see, you know, do you know in film they hold, you know, so when they show the Saquon Barkley play, 26 will be in the bottom of the screen for making the error, the obvious error. They run through every play. The one thing about Mike's point, they hold people accountable. Everybody from Jordan Mailata to Lane Johnson to Jason Kelce has said this. People, and I use those names because people universally respect them. And Jason himself brought up the fact that he's never seen that before in his entire career. So to hear me say he doesn't hold players accountable, he holds players accountable more than most coaches, to the point you say, maybe the other aspect of it, are you going to piss guys off by putting their number and saying, look, Bryce Huff, you're not doing your job on this particular play. That's what I'm talking about. Like, no, obviously you took offense, but people who aren't on the ground, that's why boots on the ground matter. So I don't care if you listen to me, or I don't care if you trust talking heads that aren't there. But understand, talking heads that aren't there don't know what they don't know, to use a Jalen Hurtsism. That's all I'm saying. I don't go out to freaking Bounders in Haddon Township, and I shouldn't even say where he freaking lives. But yeah, it's not about friendship. Not about a friendship. But I do know how he goes about his job. And I do know he holds players accountable.
Great. I hope do it's know better that. Behind the scenes than it looks on the outside. That's
well, yeah. Listen, if we took everything at face value of what we see in front of us, I think we'd be wrong a lot, right? I mean, we look at people's on-screen personas and make a judgment. So we judge Mike Tomlin based on the guy we see on the screen. Now, we assume
judging the results, though, Mike. The team is 3-7 in the last 10 games.
Right, we're taking a 10-game sample size over and saying that is more important than a 3-year sample size, where he's the winningest coach in the NFL in the 3 years, correct?
Fair. But, yeah. You know, they're trending in the wrong direction right now, and my problem is that there's no reason to talk to him after the loss. They're trending in the wrong direction
on a night where, look, the defense had given up 15 points in the last minute. If A.J. Brown's healthy in that game, do they win that game?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about A.J. Yeah.
I mean, well, he's out. He's not going to play this week, according
to him. Yeah, I hope people – it's weird, A.J., because I think everybody knows how good he is. But there is the assumption that it's not as big as a deal as it is, because every time he's not out there, this offense is not the same. That's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. But we kept you late. I apologize. At Mike Gill Show, X.com. Good discussion, though. That's why we kept you late. 97.3, the Sports Bash. Drive time every day, Monday through Friday. Listen to Mike if you're down the shore locally.
Best show down the shore, without a doubt. Mike, thanks for joining the show, man. We'll talk to you again next week. All right, brother.
I will say, Xander, I'm the only show down the shore.
Still the best.
The best and the only. All right.
That doesn't make me wrong. Mike, that doesn't make me wrong. But all right, brother, I'll see you.
One of one.
Good stuff from Mike Gill there. Almost up to BLG coming up, Johnson. No need to take a break until we get a couple more minutes.
By the way, I didn't mean to insult you, but
it wasn't an insult. I was saying that I don't believe my relationship with Nick has anything to do. I'm telling you how it appears from my perspective, and most people don't have boots on the ground. So I'm not saying what you're saying isn't valuable. I'm saying the average person listening to this show, the average person who consumes Eagles content or who watches this team at all, they're looking at this and they're like, what does Nick do? What is his role on the team? I know you know it better than me. I'm not naive. I understand you're down there. But I'm just saying, from the average point of view, from my point of view, from I think the average Eagles fan's point of view, they're wondering what the hell this guy does. They're wondering what the identity is in Philly right now.
And that's why I bring up other CEO coaches. So that is born from the fact that the presumption that Jeffrey Lurie ordered Nick Sirianni to give up play calling, which I think is incorrect, but there's a lot of context to that. I think he would have ordered it, and I think Nick was smart enough to give it up on his own because he knew it was coming. And I don't like that setup, and that hasn't changed. And I've said that, and I have no problem criticizing Nick Sirianni for the stuff he's done over the years. And that will continue, but I just say, you know, his accountability and, you know, when he preaches that stuff, it isn't bullshit to the point that I would go the other direction. And maybe he's a little bit too harsh when he's signaling out mistakes and things of that nature, because you can lose a player that way as well. But yeah, I mean, I heard all the jokes. I make the jokes. What is it that you do here? Some people have said. But again, those people, and that's where it's valuable to get to understand the NFL ecosystem. I can't make people listen, but I will point to my record and say, well, how does McMullen know this is going to happen? How does McMullen know? I'm not guessing.
No, I know. John, and I'll give you credit. You're right a lot more than you are wrong. You are right most of the time about this football team. I'm just asking you, consider the perception. And I know perception is not always reality, but you're coming off a historic collapse last football season. All this change in the offseason in terms of coordinators, all of the talking points, some of the things Jalen Hurts said, and then the first loss of the year, the first one. It's not like there's it's the fifth loss. Let's let Jalen handle it this time. The first loss of the year, the way they lose it, and now Nick doesn't talk. The perception of that is not great. That's all I'm saying.
But what is the perception? I mean, fans aren't in the locker room. If that question, he spoke after the game to the media. He spoke to the team this morning. He spoke to the team. He'll speak to the team on Thursday. He'll speak to the team on Friday. He'll speak to the team on Saturday. Like the perception in that instance, like, and I just say, and there's 32 NFL teams. That perception on good coaches, bad coaches, indifferent coaches, mediocre coaches is going to be across the board irrelevant, is the term I will use, across the board. Because they're talking to him so much during the week. Are you trying to throw a curveball as Mike kind of pointed out with the messaging? Sure. Yeah. And if Jalen Hurts didn't hit all the notes he would have that he wanted hit, he would have spoke. Just part of the feel for dealing with people and being a leader. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but it's irrelevant. I will say that from the standpoint of they ain't showing up in New Orleans without hearing from Nick Sirianni multiple times. So I don't, you know, I guess I don't understand the angst or worry, but I know, and I also understand it's going to be blown up to a ridiculous degree. because of that outside perspective that doesn't think about Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday before the game.
Understood. Like, I agree. I understand what you're saying. Let's